After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
I get angry just thinking about it makes me mad. Little kids doing drugs, it turns my stomach. That stuff hurts. It stops you from living up to your potential. It holds you back. It hurts the user. It hurts his family. And it hurts his friends. I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and thinking about using. So remember, don't, or else. Okay?
Drugs are menacing our society. They're threatening our values and undercutting our institutions. They're killing our children. First, we seek a drug-free workplace at all levels of government and in the private sector. Second, we'll work toward drug-free schools.
But so far, there's little evidence that anything is working. Last week, a popular drug education program, the DARE program, was deemed ineffective by the people who run it. Surveys indicate that hardcore drug use is up, drug-related violence is up, and visits to treatment centers are down. And the White House drug czar's own office was gutted, its staff cut in the recent budget cutbacks.
And when it comes to drugs and alcohol, just say no.
Welcome. As always, I say welcome. You are entering the house of After School Special Podcast, the church that is Latchkey. Come in. Stay a while. We have some tea. We have some fruit roll-ups over there. And we also have a shit ton of weed. So please, smoke. Wait, what's that in the distance? It looks like a lion. He's got a t-shirt on and he's talking like a human. Am I tripping balls right now? No, it's DARE. To resist drugs and violence. DARE to keep kids on drug. To keep kids off drugs. Today on After School Special Podcast.
Good save.
You're goddamn right. Today on After School Special Podcast, we are talking about the DARE program. The unmitigated disaster that was the DARE program. Now, John, I know you had a different experience. I realized something here that I was the kid that would try to sell people weed. Where you were.
So DARE didn't really set the groundwork for me in not doing drugs. My parents did that. So, you know, I had already had that in me because I had family members, uncles that were strung out on coke and uncles who were alcoholics, and it really hits my family hard. I mean, it hits everybody's family hard, but in my family, it really took a toll on people to the point where they died. So I was already like, yeah, that's not going to be me. So when I got into the DARE program, it was interesting because, like I said to you earlier, we had two officers who were already known around the school. It was a predominantly Black school. They were Black officers. They were cool with us. They led the Boy Scout program there. They came and they would talk to us about, hey, this is what DARE is, you know, and this is what you can do when someone offers you drugs. And the only reason why I can remember it now is because the DARE workbook was what was funny, because they had the two dudes that were dealing drugs in it. One was like a bee and the other dude was dressed in a sleazy trench coat. Because the guy that was dressed like a bee was supposed to be like the friendly guy trying to attract the kids over to do drugs.
Yeah, the bee with honey. And then I thought it was a trench coat guy, but also a bunny.
The bunny.
Yeah.
The bunny. So what made it so funny for us is that we would play the dozens, because they would be like, what would you say to these guys? And that's what we would write down, like all the shit we would not say.
Hey, do you guys want some marijuana? Yes, please.
So we would play the dozens. And, you know, this is like fourth grade or sixth grade. So we'd be like, hey, bug eye boy, you coming to me trying to deal me some drugs? You got me all wrong. Like, we would write that in the workbook and stuff like that. And that's why.
You got me all wrong.
Yeah, you got me all wrong, bug eye boy. Yeah, like, because we were writing like your mama jokes in the book.
Your mama joked.
Yeah, telling them like, hey, your mama's so fat, da-da-da-da-da, because we didn't want them to deal us drugs. And the officers would be laughing. They would just bust out laughing because we were just like, yeah, we're not going to do that. But that's not to say that the classmates that I had then aren't doing like, you know, weed or mushrooms now. I mean, who even considers those really drugs? You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
The federal government. But
well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
So before we get into the backstory and the history and all that other stuff, in the beginning, you made a very good point where DARE was to keep kids off drugs. It was a government program put in place. Isn't that kind of the parents' jobs, Celia? Because I know for me, I wasn't going to do it. My parents laid that into me. And you were the one that said, like, your parents, that was their job to do it. And as we go forward in this story, we see, at least the way that I looked at it, too, even back then, it was a disaster. It never worked to begin with. And we'll get into the deets here. So, the DARE program, Drug Abuse Resistance Education, or DARE, was an education program that seeked to prevent use of controlled drugs, heroin, cocaine, weed, delicious shrooms, membership in gangs, which I didn't know that, and violent behavior. It was founded in Los Angeles in 1983 as a joint initiative of then LAPD Chief Daryl Gates and the Los Angeles Unified School District as a demand-side drug control strategy of the American War on Drugs. The program's mascot was that friggin' lion named Darren. How cute and quaint. Its American headquarters is in Inglewood, California. The purpose of DARE program, it was just a drug prevention program. It was placed in elementary schools in general. It taught kids, like what you were saying, John, the skills for resisting peer pressure for drugs and alcohol. To me, looking back, that just kind of told me what drugs were. And like some of them, I don't know, seemed pretty cool. But I didn't do them. I didn't do them until high school. It was created as a part of the war on drugs in the United States. Now, 1983, we also had the Just Say No, which we all know what happened with that. The Just Say No was the Nancy Reagan, her answer to the drug issue, also helping imprisoning a lot of black men, young black men, with Reagan's war on drugs, which we all see and people finally admit that it didn't work. The war lost, and now we're all smoking weed.
I did some research myself, and it was saying that Nixon declared the war on drugs in 1971 because of late 60s. There was
hippies and the yippies smoking the marijuana.
Yeah, the use of drugs in the late 60s was seen as rebellion. You know, like, hey, you're rebelling against the system. This is what we're going to do. You know, we're doing drugs. But you also brought up a good point, too, where, you know, you had DEA agents and different agencies introducing crack cocaine to
like inner cities and whatnot.
Yep.
The other thing, too, is the whole war on drugs started then. LSD was created or more or less used by the United States government. And this is not a conspiracy theory. The whole MK Ultra thing, being able to control people in a sense. And who else was a part of that? Ted Kaczynski. And also a bunch of people that came into the hippie and yippie movement. So it's just, to me, the government has always been hypocrisy after hypocrisy after hypocrisy. And the DARE movement was no different.
Yeah.
But to get back into the DARE program, the curriculum consisted of lectures on the harmful consequences of drug and alcohol use, to refuse drugs, building self-esteem and support networks, and alternatives to drugs. Curriculum also condemned the graffiti and tattoos. Well, shit, man. My sheriff or whatever the fuck his name was in the DARE program would just be so upset at me right now. So we all know the curriculum. It was put in place. There were worksheets and whatnot that were given to kids. It was just an excuse to, for teachers, I guess, to go take a smoke break back in our day. And then police officers were actually trying to do something, to make a difference in a sense, but in the end, it was just detrimental. And more people, statistically speaking, as we get into some of these studies in regards to how was it effective and whatnot, the cost outweighing the actual benefit of this program. The other thing, too, was child Stasi or informants. They basically had people, kids, tattling on one another. And in October 2010, an elementary school student in North Carolina brought cannabis to school to turn his parents in, which is any drugs or anything, any paraphernalia that was given to you, you could put it in the dare box and that would be the end of it. I don't know if anyone ever delivered shit to you, but like I was always told not to talk to the police. I'm assuming that there is no difference in that with you guys.
Well, you know what? Not necessarily. I remember when the no snitching phase of life was going on. And I mean, it still goes on now. But if you're what you call a civilian, you know, that doesn't apply compared to if you're someone in the streets. That applies to you. But if you're like a civilian where you're not into the street life or nothing like that, that doesn't necessarily apply to what you're doing. The rules of the streets are completely different. My dad worked at the Job Corps. So, you know, he dealt with a lot of kids who were probably doing weed and stuff like that, trying to find jobs. My mom, she worked for Mercy Hospital, so she didn't really see stuff like that. She was a computer operator, so she didn't necessarily see all that stuff. But they did say, hey, if you see something, say something. That's just how my parents were. What about you, Don? Did you have that same scenario with your folks? Or
the only conversation that I recall when I was a kid, my brother distinctly told me, if you ever do drugs, I'll kill you. So that was about it. No, really. Like, my mom didn't sit me down or anything like that. All my information on drugs was on TV. All the programs, childhood programs that I watched said, don't do drugs. So I said, all right, I won't do drugs.
My mom just said, I'll beat your ass if you do anything. Yeah, eventually, I smoked weed with her. So
really?
That's pretty cool.
Progress.
Yeah, I smoked weed with my dad one time, too. He's like, I don't do this that often. And I'm like, I do this all the fucking time.
God bless America.
Did you?
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. Rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
What about the snitching thing? Like, did you have that in your household? Like, where they said, hey, don't do this? Or was it like, see something, say something?
Well, I was going to say, my mom was like, snitches get stitches, period. You don't fucking talk to anyone in regards to and you handle the shit. But that also is, in a sense, toxic. My mom didn't really say that. Actually, that was my older brother. Snitches get stitches. So when he beat the shit out of me, I couldn't say a thing because snitches get stitches.
We were complete opposite, dude. I remember me and my brother were rough house, and if he got hurt, I'd be like, don't say shit. And
you like put the pillow, you put his like face in a pillow, so you're not like smothering him, but it's like, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything. Like, just trying to make sure that they calm down before they start screaming.
And he would still say something, because our father was just like, hey, do not hide shit. Like, if something happens, just say something. That's just how it was, though.
So one of the lessons, along with the whole child informants, the Stasi, as if were the three R's, recognize, resist, report. It encouraged children to tell friends, teachers, or police they find drugs. Like I had explained with the 2010 incident where the kid snitched on his fucking parents. Like, how uncool is that, man?
How much of a square?
Yo, exactly. Yeah. No, man, that kid probably got so many wedgies, right? That's what they did at my school, right? Did they do that at your school? Yeah. No, actually, at my school, people just got the shit kicked out of them. As we progress, we're going to talk about the studies on the effectiveness of the DARE program. As this progressed, we were just talking about the little Nazi children that they were trying to create so they could basically tell them that friends or family members were using illegal drugs. And I'm sure there were some
police.
Yeah, exactly. The little mini Stasi.
Yeah.
So, studies of effectiveness. There were a couple of them. I'll just talk about three of them. The Indiana University study. Researchers at Indiana University, commissioned by Indiana school officials in 1992, found that those who completed the DARE program subsequently had significantly higher rates of hallucinogenic drug use than those not exposed to the program. Booyakasha. Then the 1995 California Department of Education also did a study. Now, this was one of the bigger ones. This wasn't so much what led to the downfall. That was the 1998 right. study, the National Institute of Justice. In 1995, a report to the California Department of Education by Joel Brown, PhD, stated that none of California's drug education programs worked, including DARE. California's drug education programs, DARE, being the largest of them, simply does not work, Joel Brown had stated. More than 40% of the students told researchers that they were not all influenced by drug educators or programs. Nearly 70% reported neutral to negative feelings about those delivering the anti-drug message, while only 10% of elementary school students responded to drug education negatively or indifferently. So there was already, especially the fact that it started in California, there was already a hatred towards cops in general. So you're coming in, you don't know where I'm from, whatnot, in regards to culture, lifestyle, and you're telling me, well, don't do this, don't do that. Well, go fuck yourself, man.
Yeah,
that's
man,
pretty much how I looked at it.
And the location mattered because, like you said, California, you know, that's 1995. I mean, think about the hip hop culture around that time.
Well, I was going to say the LA riots. Were.
Yeah. Think about what hip hop was saying at that time about the police, because the streets were dictating what some of those kids' lives were. You know, just like Chicago, depending on what block you stayed on, depended on the type of protection you would have going to and from school. So that had to account for something with this DARE program. Like, I don't care about this. You know, I'm just trying to survive getting home, you know?
Yeah. So 1998, National Institute of Justice. This is one of the studies that kind of put the kibosh on the whole thing, I believe. 1998, a grant from National Institute of Justice to the University of Maryland resorted in a report to the NIJ, which among other statements concluded that DARE does not work to reduce substance use. And more studies came out. Like, see, after that, you had the 2001 Office of Surgeon General finally put the kibosh on it, Perspectives on Psychological Science. It did a study on it, Texas A&M in 2009. Mm-hmm. It just did not work. In responses to the criticism of this, actually, you may know him. He was in the last president's cabinet. Little Keebler elf Jeff Sessions had said in regards to, despite the research that is out there, he still thought that it worked. Every single politician is just a fucking hypocrite on both sides of the aisle, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
They're both shitheads.
Oh, yeah.
Every year you said they were spending about, what, $700 million on this program?
$2 billion overall. $2 billion. That's like getting into where it was more popular. $2 billion altogether. Oh, complete and utter waste of fucking money. The thing too is DARE attacked the credits for allegedly being motivated by their financial self-interest, which these studies, they were educators. And this is the issue that we're running into now, like science in regards to climate change or whatnot. If the evidence is there, it's there. There a lot of these scientists, people think that they have some ulterior motives. They don't have fucking Tesla stock. They don't even know how to talk to people properly.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them have social disorders. Like, they want to better the world. They're not looking to make $1 million and become Tesla superstar. Right. The rebuttal of the statistics, Ronald J. Brogan, New York's DARE City fundraiser and spokesperson said, if you take German for 17 weeks, you're not going to speak German. The critics say that the effect dissipates over the years. No shit, Sherlock. Well, you know, they were angry. They had wasted all this money. The government knew what was going on. They allowed it to keep happening. Well, before we get into the keeping it real curriculum, which is just like, what the fuck are these people thinking by calling it this? This is the most cheesy shit I've ever fucking heard.
Yeah.
Was the PSA, the cartoon. So the PSA, more or less, and I'll describe it, a group of kids have a report that they're more or less doing for DARE. The dog that's with them takes their report, runs off with it, and then they go into, I don't know, I just called it Drugland. Called it Happy Time.
Drugland.
And the rabbit and the guy in the bee suit show up, and they're wanting to give these kids alcohol and make them, you know, like how most people would say, oh, you know, like drugs aren't cool or whatnot. And I'm like, man, I want to be cool. I want to be like the bunny and the bee guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So throughout the whole thing, you're seeing these kids get put in certain areas. Areas. They take these kids and they go from alcohol, they go from the lighter drugs and whatnot. So as I peaked while taking shrooms, because I watched it on shrooms, more or less they get caught in this whole facet and then the drugs get harder. You see the bunny tweaking and then the bee guy wants to help get them out of there. So anyways, it's more or less a way for them. And if you notice the animation too, and I'm not sure if this is true, it kind of reminded me of Simpsons animation a little.
That's what I was going to say early, Matt Groening.
So his first character, his like little doodle of the rabbit, because
the
that
rabbit.
Was,
yeah.
Yeah. But I remember that was like his first comic strip, but that's what it reminded me of too. And well, it's a cartoon. So they're thinking that, oh, kids are going to, you know, watch and listen to a cartoon in regards to, so it was a way to suck them in.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey guys, as always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show. After school special podcast.
You know, that hard goodness that you get the next day.
Oh, yummy.
From a day old donut at Dougie's.
After school special podcast.
No. That's my childhood right there, motherfucker. When did that come out?
Podcast comes out every Friday. Friday. So, did you graduate from the D.A.R.E. program, John?
I did, but, you know, I didn't end up doing drugs. I ended up on pills because I lost my mind, so.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, yeah, so, you
well,
know.
Well, pills, that medication.
Different.
Medication.
We took,
yeah, it's prescribed medicine, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's prescribed. It's prescribed, but still. Took a different path, but got to the same destination, so.
And then I just see a big plate of Coke and stick my face right in it. I've never done that before.
Allegedly.
And my kids are in the other room, so they probably hear that. It's like, Daddy did cocaine.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So, as we progress, now, John, we kind of did the same research in regards to this, the new curriculum that was started, because D.A.R.E. ended around 2009.
Uh-huh.
So, now, you said it wasn't working, but from what I understand, it's working better than the D.A.R.E. program did, which it's called Keeping It Real. I imagine an older white guy with like baggy pants, like with his arms up like this and his hat stepped off to the side and be like, you got to keep it real, man. Drugs are dumb.
He's sitting with
dog.
His chair. He's sitting with his chair backwards. That means he's relating to us. Yeah, I was going to say I saw that because it said in 2013, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration ranked its readiness for dissemination at 1.5 out of 4. So maybe I read that wrong.
You
so
might be
are they
right.
Saying that,
I could be on a government website, actually, and they're like, hey, it's working just as good as D.A.R.E. did. Keeping it real is keeping drugs out of schools. And then, you know, all the other kids are just like, What are you talking about?
Isn't there like a huge opioid crisis going on right now?
Oh, or, that's been going on
for several
you know,
years.
Early 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's funny because
keeping it real.
Crack, D.L. Hughley once said, and it really applies to this, that when the crack stuff happened, that was an epidemic. You know, like, okay, it's an issue. But then when the opioid thing happened, it's a crisis. There was a big overturn. You know, like,
oh, yeah.
No one cared about the crack problem, but the opioid crisis, everyone started losing their mind about, okay, we need to do something, because then it was their kids and their family members getting killed from overdosing on these pain meds.
Yep. So, senators and senators' sons and daughters and wives all doing methamphetamines and opioids. Yeah.
To put it even more plain than that, John, that crack problem was a black problem. It was a minority problem. That's their problem.
Yeah.
At
which
least
has
that's
been
their
shown.
Problem.
Which is clearly there is proof that crack was introduced to. Well, we've talked about this multiple times into inner cities, into jazz clubs. Heroin was introduced by CIA agents, which I think was like the OSI at the time or something. There's all this shit out there, and so keeping it real. or KIR, is a scientifically proven effective substance use prevention and social emotional competency enhancing program designed to focus on competency linked to preventing substance use and abuse. Featured as a cost-effective and powerful program by the U.S. Surgeon General in 2016, this program, well, it's saying it's been around since like 2009, or at least this program.
No, you're right. So, right. Yeah, 2009.
Okay. So basically what it does, reduces rates of alcohol, tobacco, marijuana use by as much as 45%. I would really like to see the complete studies and wondering who exactly is behind this.
It said that the DARE program, when it used the Keeping It Real curriculum, was catering towards European American, Mexican American, and African American culture that was integrated with narration and performance.
For Keeping It Real, the instructors only spoke for about 8 minutes during each lesson. And then, like what you were saying, the whole sketch stuff, they would more or less play out scenarios, which then the kids could have fun and do some dumbass shit. But like, I'm getting mixed from different studies saying that, yeah, it does not work. Yeah. So actually, Frank Pegarius, I believe is how his name's pronounced, who was the president of DARE.
Frank the
Everyone
Tank.
Believed. The president of DARE program, when it was at its height, even admitted everyone believed that if you just told students how harmful these substances and behaviors were, they'd stay away from them. He knew off the bat, especially the fact that we spent over $2 billion in regards to this, that it did not work whatsoever. And the stats show it. The studies show that. Now, for you, John, it did something, but I think it had more to do with your parents being parents.
Yeah, it was mostly my parents. My parents put it in me. DARE reaffirmed it. I'm an exception to the rule. Other people may have had the same feelings, but in general, it was a problem for people.
That's more or less DARE. It was to keep kids off drugs, and it failed. Another thing with the U.S. government that was a failure, just like Just Say No. And then the only way that they were able to, in a sense, what they thought could combat was introduce the crime bill, which was Clinton. So you could say, oh, well, Republicans did this. Well, you look at what Bill Clinton did with the introduction of the crime bill, and guess who's president now, who was all for it? President Biden.
Your boy.
What's Biden going on? I like oatmeal. Patrick Farm remembers. But listen, Jack. We're going to go down. We're going to go downtown, and we're going to go scrum-diddly-umptious in your bum-diddly-humptious.
Now he's like your granddad that just stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah.
That's how he just
He's
stopped.
Towards the finish line, you know.
Yeah.
But this is how much they were all for this. They were just blinded by this. $2 billion wasted on this program and this new one, wasting money as well. The whole thing is that mental illness has a lot to do with this. Once you start using drugs and it becomes habitual, it then can become a problem. But a lot of it has to do with the mental health issues that are going on within our society right now. But that's pretty much DARE. You guys have anything to add? My experience was kind of whatever.
Well,
it was
the irony of DARE now. I don't know if you touched on that, but the irony now is most people who do drugs end up wearing DARE shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, I have
popularized. it's been popularized by people in the counterculture. Counterculture where people who smoke weed or whatever are wear a DARE shirt. It's ironic. You know what I mean? So that has become more of a statement, like when you're out, if you're doing shrooms, mushrooms, or weed, or, you know, just doing whatever, you're wearing these shirts, and it's just like funny now. You know, that's what it is. It's been made a joke.
It's all hypocrisy and everything. Yep. That's why it is funny. Yep. It's ironic that people are wearing those shirts now. The last thing that they said about it, too, and I think this was like in 2001, knocking DARE is like kicking your mother or thinking that apple pie doesn't taste good. Man, someone could come in the f***ing apple pie, and of course it's not going to taste good. What's wrong with you? And then kicking your mom? She's going to kick you right back.
I ended up getting a notification, but all I heard was, come in that apple pie and then kick your mom.
Hey, everyone. It's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcasts. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Hey, bug-eyed boy, you coming to me trying to deal me some drugs? You got me all wrong.